Welcome to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph, as she explores the ever-changing music industry with today's top creatives, artists, and executives. Enjoy these fun and informative conversations with a little bit of love thrown in along the way.
Welcome to For Love and Music with me, Tara Joseph. Now, today, I've got another fantastic guest. Ivan Novello, an Emmy-nominated composer and Classic FM's 2018 Composer to Watch. So let's welcome to the show Anne Nikitin. Anne, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolute pleasure. So where are you right now? I always love to ask my guests where you're situated currently.
I know, that's funny. I am in London, in North London.
Right.
In my attic studio. And yeah, not a lot to say. I've been in here for a long time since lockdown, obviously. I work here anyway, but I feel very much confined to this space now. So yeah.
How have you found being creative in forced isolation, so to speak? Or has it not felt very different?
It hasn't felt very different. It's actually felt a little bit more hectic because I'm used to working here. I'm used to being at home and composing music, but I'm not used to having the family around.
Yes.
And I've got two young children. So balancing work with homeschooling and, you know, staying safe and everything and trying to stay physical as well has been a bit of a challenge. But
I have to tell you, it's terribly nice to hear another British accent.
Oh.
It well, really is.
I'm not British. I'm Canadian.
I know that, but you sound it.
Well, I left Canada when I was one and we traveled a lot. And I went to the British School of the Netherlands when I was 10 and I moved here. And so, yeah, I feel British. I'm an honorary
Brit. Well, you sound Brit. It. An honorary Brit, let's say that.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Where in North London, actually, are you?
East Finchley.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I used to, yeah, I know. I've got friends that live in East Finchley, actually.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I do. I'm actually missing the UK right now because of COVID. I haven't been able to come back since last February. So I'm desperate for a trip as soon as possible.
Yeah, you've got to. Are you in LA?
Yes, I'm in LA and I've lived here for about 6 years. But tell us then, so take us back to the beginning. You're an incredibly successful composer. How did it all begin? Were you a very musical child? Fill us in on how it started.
I always loved music. I was pretty obsessed with the charts and music around the house and whatever my parents were playing. And I always sort of made my own instruments and tried to write music when I was very little and didn't know what notation was. And then I went on to study music at university. I studied contemporary classical composition and as orchestrally trained. And then I decided, as much as I loved that avant-garde world, I really, really loved film music. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to write a melody. So I got into the Royal College of Music in London, and they had one of the few film music courses was there. And that was a great experience. And then I thought, I'll just fall into my dream job as soon as I graduate. And sadly, it was a lot harder than that. So it took me quite a long, well, a good few, many years actually, to get my first paid job where I could finally quit my dream job, quit my day job for my dream job. And that was through a very random experience where I saw that the BBC were running a competition to find a new TV composer. And so I entered that, not thinking anything of it. And I ended up winning that. And the prize was, it was life changing because the commission was to score an episode of BBC Natural World, and which was my dream job. And I'd never written for television. And the director, Fergus Beely, was wonderful. He basically held my hand through the whole process and explained what a premix was and a final mix and all of that. And
what an incredible opportunity.
It was. I mean, I'm eternally grateful for the team that ran that at the BBC. And then it just snowballed from there. I met a wonderful composer who sort of helped me get the jobs that he couldn't do because he was too busy. And then I met lots of directors and producers and that was it. So, yeah.
So when you were a youngster, did you have were you influenced by specific kinds of music? So when you basically, you had this break and you won the new composers competition for the BBC. Leading to that point, had you been sort of influenced by certain other composers or music? How did that happen?
I mean, in terms of film music, I really paid attention to film music for the first time when the film The Piano came out, which was scored by Michael Nyman. Yeah, and the music's just ridiculously beautiful and very fitting for the character. And it was the first time I sort of went, oh, you know, this is wonderful. Maybe I could do something like this. I mean, I'd always loved film music. John Williams and, you know, all those films were incredible, but they seemed unattainable to me and not something I ever thought I would do. Whereas when I saw The Piano, I thought, well, I play the piano and I love to write tunes. You know, maybe this is something that I can consider. But I grew up listening to a whole bunch of different music. And, you know, my mum loved classical music. My dad was a big jazz freak. And I loved my 80s pop music and then my 90s grunge music.
You're a bit of a Cure fan, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
Me too. Me too.
Oh, it's lovely to meet another Curist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was the Cure and the Smiths, both.
Yeah. Me too.
But Robert Smith is what a legend. And he's still going strong today. Still got the same look, as far as I'm aware.
Same look. And I've seen them probably more recently than I did back in the day. And they are incredible live. I mean, they're getting rockier and harder. And it's just brilliant, full of energy.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Stones, really. Like, the longer they keep going, the more rockier they get and the more brilliant they get live.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
I know.
That they can still play in.
I know. Well, I mean, I hope I've got that much energy when I'm like 75 or whatever Mick Jagger is. So most recently, you scored the Winx Saga for Netflix.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to see some of those episodes, and it's such a great show. I really got into it, actually. I'm really, really into it. And I was also a bit of a fan of The Vampire Diaries, because Brian Young created both The Winx Saga and Vampire Diaries, didn't he?
Exactly.
So how did that opportunity come for you? Because what a great gig to get. Fab music. I mean, it's, you know. Your music, I feel, really holds the whole show together.
Oh, thank you. That's
really does.
Yeah. Well, I really love the show, and I'm really excited for it to come out tomorrow. But I landed the job because I'd worked with the music supervisor before, Matt Biffa, who recommended me to Brian. And then I hopped on the phone with Brian, and we just really hit it off. And we seemed to share the same vision for his creation. And I sent him some tracks, I think, that I'd written without having seen anything, just based on the brief he'd given me, and he liked them. And so that was it. And it was quite a long process. I was on that for about a year, and there was a little bit of a pause when lockdown happened, but not much. But it was, you know, it was quite an intense experience, but it was a joyful experience because Brian and Judy, the producer, and Matt were just such a brilliant team to work with. I couldn't have asked for a better group of people.
So when you work on a project like that, I mean, with this, you said it took around a year, but how long does it usually take to score a project?
Every project's different. And, I've been on a feature doc for a whole year, which is very unusual. And then I've been on them for 3-4 weeks. Because this was quite an intense series, there's 6 episodes. There was a lot of back and forth, you know, with episode one. That took quite a lot of time to get right in the edit, as well as with the music. And we had lots of people to satisfy with that episode. But as soon as that one was out of the door, it sped up. It was a much quicker episode. And then they needed time for visual effects and sound design and everything. So it was just quite a long post-production process. But it gave me time to write music that I was quite proud of, because I had that time. Sometimes when you're rushed, you're just sort of trying to bash things out that work. Whereas we spent a lot of time talking about the music and trying different things. And I was really pleased that the temp music was never working and nobody really liked it. And so I felt like I had a clean slate. And then I had all this time to experiment with Brian and Judy and make sure everyone was happy, including me, which is nice.
And did you create everything from the studio you're in right now?
Yeah, I did.
Gosh, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, technology now is incredible.
Yeah. Are you a multi-instrumentalist?
No, I play piano and I play guitar very badly. I hate performing. I hate it. I just I have an aversion to it. But I do. I mean, I play a lot of things very badly, and I do like to tinker with things and get sounds out of them. But no, I wouldn't say I'm an incredible player.
So for those people listening in who may want to, you know, become composers in the world of TV and film, what advice would you give them? And what do they need as their sort of starting tools, basically? Because I can see, I mean, obviously they can't see you, but I can see you through the technology of Zoom sitting in your fabulous studio, and I can see, you know, computers and various other things. So what would you suggest if you're on a tight budget? Are your some essential things you need to just get going?
Well, when I started, my lovely friend who I'd met through the competition, who's a seasoned composer, I was pitching for one of my first shows after that, and I played it to him, and he said, "Your samples are awful." He said, "I know you don't have any money, but you've just got to invest in getting good orchestral samples." Luckily, most samples these days are much, much better than what I had 10 or 15 years ago now. But I would say invest in some really good, a kit of samples, you know, the orchestra and whatever other synth that you like to use. Also, what helped me a lot was getting ready for that first commission. I'd practiced on a lot of short films, and I was doing one short film after another, and I had a day job, but you know, I spent all my evenings and nights trying to get short films done and meeting deadlines and working with directors. And that really gave me great experience, the experience of working with people in a collaborative way. Also, understanding that you don't sleep much when you're a composer, and that's just the way it is.
Is that because you're incredibly busy or because your mind doesn't switch off?
Both. And I think it's mostly because deadlines are always there, and it doesn't matter how much time you have to prepare, there always seems to be a rush at the end to get the music done and out of the door. And then recording is a whole other process. So just because you've written the music, it doesn't mean you've finished. You've now got to record it. And that takes a lot of time, and sometimes almost as long as it takes to write the score. So there's a lot to do to have that piece of music ready to send to the dub to put onto the film. So you do, I mean, you know, everyone will tell you that you don't sleep leading up to a dub, no matter how prepared you are.
Are your children musical?
I'm finding that they're starting to be. Yeah, they're 6 and 9.
Okay.
The 9-year-old's more of an artist, a visual artist. I don't know where she gets that from, because I'm not. But the little ones are starting to love music, and it's fun. And they love coming to my studio. And
yeah, I was going to say, so you'll be sharing your studio before you know what's happened.
Yeah. Boot them out.
But let's talk also about some of your other successes. So you scored for the heist movie American Animals, the BAFTA winning film The Imposter, Little Birds, which was a Sky drama, I believe. I mean, gosh, the list goes on. What would you say you're most proud of?
I love all the ones you've just listed. Those are some of my favourites. So I worked with Bart Layton, the director of The Imposter and American Animals. And I love his films. They're just brilliant. And he's great to work with. So I'd say I'm very proud of the scores I've created for those two films. And then, yeah, Little Birds was so much fun. It's a real bonkers series. I believe it's coming to the States in February. And that was just a joy, because it's just crazy. It's a strange, erotic comedy, tragic comedy with some brilliant actors. And yeah, that was just the steer from the director was to write something bonkers. And she gave me quite a lot of freedom to do that. So
that must have been fun.
Yeah, it was good, because sometimes you get bound to temp music or guide music. And it can be a little bit soul-destroying if a director's incredibly attached to temp music, somebody else's score essentially, and you think, oh, why can't you just like my music? but you have to try and navigate through that hurdle. But yeah, on these recent ones it's been great, like Little Birds, where there hasn't been much temp music that was working, and similar on Fate, so you feel like you can use your own voice.
Are there certain directors that you haven't worked with yet that you would absolutely love to work with?
Yeah, I mean, there are some, but you think, well, I'll never get to work with them, like Steven Soderbergh and, you know, people like that. But, and, you know, Ridley Scott, I just love his films. But yeah, Maybe one day, but
Oh gosh, I'm sure. I mean, you've already worked with some such incredible people that I would say the sky's the limit.
oh, thanks.
So, what would you, over the next few years, what would you like your sort of, if you could plot out your 5-year game plan, what would it be?
Oh, that's tough.
Steven Soderbergh, I suppose.
Just that. I'd like to just keep going. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now. I started off in documentaries and docudramas for a lot of US channels. I really loved that. I'm moving more into drama now and I'm really enjoying that too. I'd like to do more bigger films, I suppose, but I just feel very lucky to be in the profession to begin with and to be able to earn a living doing what I love every day. As much as I moan about being tired, I think I'd moan anyway.
You mentioned that you're part Romanian and part Polish. Were your parents musical?
Well, I don't really know. They loved music. My dad really loved jazz, and my mum, they always had music around. I think if they'd been given the opportunity to have music lessons or whatever, that they probably would have been musical. But weirdly, strange you should ask, my dad's mum, a Polish lady who I'd never met, she died before I was born, but she apparently played music for piano for silent movies in Poland. So I thought that was a very odd link. And that's how she met my
Wow.
grandfather, who worked in a cinema. So, yeah.
Oh, that's
So
quite
I guess
incredible.
somewhere in the genes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. As you know, the podcast is called For Love and Music, and I called it that because those were the two reasons that I moved to LA. So I sometimes like to ask people, is there a song that resonates romantically with you that has a special place in your heart?
Oh, gosh, there are so many. But of course, The Cure jumps to
Okay.
mind.
Okay.
I suppose Just Like Heaven by The Cure was
Okay.
a song that was sort of, I guess, sums up my teenage years that I really still love when I hear it. Is that what you mean? Just a
Yeah,
song that,
could be
that I
anything.
love? Yeah. Anything off Disintegration as well.
And has love ever sort of helped you make an unexpected decision in your career?
Love. Oh my goodness.
Doesn't have to be yes, it can be a straightforward no.
Yeah. Well, weirdly, I met my partner through working with him. So I suppose that's something.
Well, there
He's a
you go.
director.
I'd say
There
that's a
you
firm
go.
yes.
So I, yeah, that's.
A firm yes, I would say. So you mentioned also that you went to the Royal College of Music. Tell us a little bit about that experience, because what an incredible educational facility to be a part of.
It really was. I had to sort of shake myself when I got into the college because they didn't accept so many people into the master's program. It was just brilliant to be in that environment surrounded by incredible performers, musicians, other students. It's just sort of a melting pot of amazing talent and also just steeped in history. And then right across from the Royal Albert Hall, it was just a beautiful building to be able to go to every day. And the course was fantastic. I really learned so much practical advice as well as making friends and connections. And also what was special about it is that they would have a guest composer come in every week. And I always remember that as something to look forward to because as much as you're doing it's all quite academic until you actually meet the composers that are in that world. And everybody wanted to know how did they break in? What are the practicalities of being a film and TV composer? And so listening to them speak was always really fascinating. They always had a different story. And sometimes they did workshops with us, and we had incredible guests like Gabrielle Jarret, who would come and then do workshops with us. So we got to really see how they worked and then went on to befriend them. And yeah, it was good.
Are
It was
you still
great.
in touch with some of your friends from the college?
Yeah, a couple sort of loosely. We were really, really close during that whole time, but we sort of drifted now,
Yeah,
sadly. But no, I'd
yeah,
love to
yeah, yeah.
see.
And do you feel that your Romanian and Polish heritage has played an influence on the music that you create?
I do actually. I've often thought of that. I think there's a real darkness to my music, and I do really love folk music. And my mum was always playing Romanian folk music in the house. And I think that seeped into me. And, you know, the Poles are known for being quite dark with their music. And yeah, I think that's probably seeped in there somewhere.
Well, honestly, it's been such a joy chatting to you. And I really encourage everyone to watch The Wink Saga on Netflix, because it's so good and the characters are so great. And I want to rush off and go to the Fairy Academy, quite frankly. I was trying to work out when I was watching it which skill I wanted.
Yeah, I know. This is it. You've got to pick your favorite fairy. My girls are still sort of wondering who their favorite is.
Right. I mean, I was like, God, it'd be quite nice to know, you know, the girl who has the mental ability. But then I'm like, that would be so exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Maybe. But honestly, your music throughout it is just wonderful. So many, many congratulations. And yeah, it's been so wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Really lovely to speak to you as well. Thank you.
And to all our For Love and Music listeners, hope you're staying safe and healthy out there. And you'll be hearing from me again very soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph. For more information, you can check out at For Love and Music Official on Instagram, at For Love and Music Official on Facebook, and also visit www.jamartistgroup.com/podcast.